TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here. So listen, I want to talk about, I don't know if we have enough time, but hopefully we do. Imagine if Jesus had a Facebook. You know, and I was not, you know, Mark Taylor is the one that turned me on to social media. Yeah, I didn't even have anything to do. It was so amazing. Oh, really? You first, okay, it's too much time to talk about that. But I was just like, it was amazing. It's like, oh, my friends. It's like the first time I got on iTunes. Oh, that song from 1812. I had, oh, the next song. I'm like, Donna's shopping in Alabama or something. And over in Florida going, it's another song. Oh, my goodness. The next thing you know, I'm like $70, $80 with the songs I'm downloading. This is great. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And it's like, stop. You know, just anyway. But imagine if Jesus had a Facebook. When you have a Facebook, for those that have one or don't have one, you just, you know, go and you open it up and you put in your information. And here's Jesus. Jesus, you know, was buried into the population. He wasn't, in their eyes, any different than anybody else, but he was. They didn't even know him until God pointed him out. I mean, he always was the Son of God. But they didn't know him until all of a sudden the Lord said, this is the one. And so imagine all of a sudden, you know, Jesus is, he's had a Facebook since he was born. Yeah, I'm in a manger. You know, a few years later, I just got some gold. Maybe somebody delivered some gold and some frankincense and some myrrh, snapping shots, you know. And no, I found out my parents weren't poor. There was just no room in the inn. You know, things that kids do. Are you posting? I mean, are you posting that on Facebook? It's okay. We do all that kind of stuff. Post your own stuff. Don't post my stuff. My goodness gracious. And so all of a sudden, you know, hey, I'm building with Dad today. We're building some stuff and taking some shots of, you know, something they built. And he was a carpenter's son. And here's my brothers. They still don't believe I'm the Son of God. My mom will always, my mom was looking at me with that weird eye today. I don't know what it is, but she's been pondering things in her heart. Help me out. Pray for me at the temple. Right? Like, I'm sneaking out today. I'm going to go to the temple and hang out with the teachers of the law and the lawyers and stuff. He walks away going, I thought these guys knew something. He's like, I confounded them, you know. Think about it. This is his encounter. But nobody's friending him. No, as a matter of fact, he's even forgot about his Facebook. He's forgot about his Facebook. He's getting a lot of suggestions. Did you ever consider Lucifer? You know, I'm thinking about it. You know, it's like, no, I don't. Lucifer is my friend. If you do, that was on my big question. If you do deny them, do they know? Anyway, so. Then all of a sudden God just says, now, bam, here he is by the Jordan. John the Baptist is looking at him. He begins to point him out. He says, listen, you know, behold the Lamb of God. And everybody starts going, does he have a Facebook? It's amazing. First thing, do you have a Facebook? They want to connect, right? And all of a sudden he gets baptized. The Holy Spirit comes down. This Father says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. People are like, dude, we need to friend him. We need to friend him. Anyway, so then he leaves immediately and talks to nobody, and he goes in the wilderness. Everybody goes, well, I don't know what that was, but we're not going to go in the wilderness with him. And next thing you know, he's having all kinds of evilness trying to friend him because Satan is tempting him and all these different things. And then he comes out. He comes out, and the friend that he has at this point is his father. Mm. His father is his friend. And he begins to walk out of the wilderness into Galilee and begin to talk and heal all the sick and heal those who are diseased and cast out all the devils. And all of a sudden, you know, this one friended him and that one friended him and this one's telling him and that one heard they healed. And all of a sudden, everybody's bringing their sick people and his Facebook's going click, 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 up, 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 boom, 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 boom. Next thing they're doing a story like they did on the quarterback's girlfriend in Alabama when they said she had like, you know, 2,000 followers, but the next day she had 100,000 followers and everybody's talking about it. That's how people figure this crazy. That's what we're talking about. And so all of a sudden, oh, Jesus might be the real deal because he's got a lot of followers. Mm. I mean, I got to consider this Jesus. But then the Pharisees, who didn't friend him on Facebook, were always looking see how things were going. And they were like, you know, creating fake profiles. saying, could I have some bread? And so he, all these friends are coming and just coming and coming. And then he sat there and he said, listen, begin to post things. Listen, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they'll inherit the kingdom of God. Boom, it posts out on the Sermon on the Mount. Everybody, oh, you're like. You know, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Like, but not that many likes. And it just goes on and on and on. I mean, people are just, just think about it. If he had a Facebook, what would it look like? People were just liking him. I mean, right before that, he had 12, his first 12 outside of his father that joined his Facebook was his 12 disciples. They liked him. And one of those was only joining him for some other ulterior motive. It was Judas. Remember, he had another idea. And Thomas was just checking things out. He had to see for himself.
Right.
And, but all of a sudden, you know, here it is, this huge, it just finally happened, and thousands of likes are there, and they're all listening and to the post and all this kind of stuff. And then Jesus posts a post like this. Talks about, I think, in John chapter 6. This is his post. And the disciples don't even know it. They don't even know what's about to happen. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Unlike. Every single one of them disconnected from publicly acknowledging him as a friend. All he had left was the 12 friends that he had when he first came out with his father, came out of the wilderness. And then he looks at them, he says, listen, are you going to unfriend me publicly too? Are you going to deny me? Or what are you going to do? And Peter said, where else can we go? You have the keys to eternal life. So they began again. They began again telling and sharing and healing and telling of the love of God and that he'll forgive their sins. And all of a sudden they begin to like again. They're coming. They're coming. The crowds are coming. He's moved with compassion because they're harassed and helpless like sheep without shepherd, like a sheep without a shepherd. And he's telling them, they're healing. They're liking. And all of a sudden, and so here he is. Always said, you know, if Jesus had a Facebook, he wouldn't have need Judas, because he'd say, hey, I'm in the Garden of Gethsemane crying out for men's souls. If you need something, post. Here's the tree I'm under, you know.
Yeah.
And here's the sleeping disciples. And so when he first started out and he opened his first Facebook, I mean, he's making all these posts, but he has no friends other than God. Mm-hmm. Nobody even knows it prior to John the Baptist being, you know, him being enlightened and pointing out, God pointing out his son, you know, at the Jordan. He was like 30 years old. And all of a sudden, bam. And his timeline says, you know, you know, you've been around for 30 years. You had a Facebook for 30 years. And all of a sudden, everybody, you know, well, you know, it's all these little posts like, you know, we talked about earlier. You can hear in the end of the first hour. And all of a sudden, you know, Jesus had this huge crowd. Everybody's being healed. And he's posting, you know, blessed are he that are poor in the spirit, for they'll inherit the kingdom of God. And blessed are the merciful. And the next day, post on the Sermon on the Mount, because they'll receive God's mercy. I mean, it's awesome. Things are, it's like, wow, this is great, you know. And then all of a sudden he makes a post that says, you know, if you love your family, if you love your mama, your daddy, if you love your brother, your sister, your grandmother or your grandpappy, or your peepaw or your meemaw more than me, you can have no part of me. And all of a sudden, his subs went, listen, we just finally got some followers, Jesus. Last time you did, you know, so what are you doing? They're leaving us now. Mm. You know, and Jesus is going, like, they never were with us.
Right.
He said, those that actually leave you were never with you. First John talks about that. And so here he is, you know, and you think about it, it's like an ebb and flow to his likes on his Facebook. When things are going good and he has healing crusades and huge, wondrous presence of God, camping adventures, and I mean, they're just coming and coming and coming and coming when the revival's happening. Man, look, Jesus is healing and Jesus is baptizing and Jesus is refreshing. And then all of a sudden, it says, okay now, follow me. This is a post. If you don't pick up your cross, deny yourself and follow me, you can have no part of me. Unlike,
unlike, just up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And all of a sudden, then these guys who are liking him on his Facebook, they begin to post things. And he's going, these guys are not. Listen. Then he posts, listen, there's false prophets amongst us. Mm. And some of these people who are doing this posting, they're not of me. But make sure you know them more by their fruit than their post. Mm. Right?
That's right.
He said, you'll know them by their fruit, not by what they say. All of a sudden, you're like, it drops by 10% because the false prophets go, oh, quick. They're going to check out our fruit. And it goes on, and it's just like an ebb and flow. I'll follow him. Oh, my goodness, there's a cost. I'll follow him. He told me to deny myself, pick up my cross, and I'm gone, leave. And up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. Numbers are going. It started with one and the Father, and it came to the 12 disciples, and all of a sudden, you know, he had just a few. And then he began to heal people in Galilee, and people started liking him. And then all of a sudden, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, it went all the way back down to 12 again. But then he began to heal again. Then he began to deliver and forgive. And then all of a sudden his friend count just went way up. But then again, he said, but you have to follow me. If you don't follow me, you can have no part of me. This is a tough teaching, Jesus. Unlike. Probably the only friends he would have had is false profiles by Pharisees trying to just keep an eye on what's going on. With it's just like, come on in with your own name. Anyway, so then it finally comes, you know, to John 17 when he's there and you don't know who's your friend and who's not your friend. It really boils down to you and the 12, right? And he's going, listen, mm-hmm. I've been faithful with the friends that openly stayed with me. I've kept them except for the one who friended me but really wasn't my friend. He had other agenda, Judas. And, but I'm going away. I'm going away. Father, I pray that you would bring them likes, that they would walk as I walk, that you would send them as you sent me. I'm going to send them as you sent me so they can go in the world and let them know that we love them and have a plan for their life. Yeah, I walked the example out. People liked me and they didn't like me. People said they loved me. But the truth is they hated me. People wanted from me what they can get, but they really didn't want me. Yes, the ebb and flow of relationships and the reality. If that happened to Jesus, if they posted, listen, here he is. Jesus is walking the God in the flesh, and he's telling everybody these awesome, or imagine if he had a Facebook, and he's posting these awesome words, and then all of a sudden, right after his post, a Pharisee post, he's a devil. And all the other Pharisees go, like. And then another Sadducee post that says, his ministry, his power comes from Satan. Post. All the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the dark, like, share. See, we told you. Mm. But he just continues on. They said, by Satan, that's how he has his power, by Satan. They looked God in the face and they called him Satan. I saw him today. This is the Pharisee post. I saw him today and I looked him square in the eye and he's Satan. And he posted it. Jesus said nothing like a lamb led to the slaughter. He did not defend himself. He trusted himself to him who judges justly. He didn't get on there and start posting back. No. Really.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My granddaughter took a Jesus bedtime storybook to school for her teacher to read, and her teacher said no, she couldn't read anything of a religious nature.
But yeah. Was this going to be read by the teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, it may be an overreaction by the school administration. The difficulty is when they're reading a book and you got the teacher reading it to the class, their concern is what's called state action, meaning that now you've got the school involved in giving a religious point of view in the book. It's not simply the student reading it, it's the teacher reading it. And the courts recognized and have said that there's this crucial difference between government speech endorsing religion, which would be a teacher, which is prohibited by the Establishment Clause, and private speech, student speech, endorsing religion, which is protected by both the Free Speech and Free Exercise Clause.
If you have questions about what's allowed in school, visit ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation, around the world. I want to welcome on the Gulf Coast every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so humbled about being there, but we know that God has called us to be able to be light, you know, on the Gulf Coast and on VFN radio around the nation and around the world. We're just getting requests in from Pakistan. We'll say a big shout out to all of our sisters and brothers in Pakistan, as our president would say, to be able to, you know, come and somehow participate and speak, you know, in a virtual way. That there's just so many different ways to be able to just give hope and share. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But here he is in John 17. He's saying, listen, this is the last few posts. Father, I pray that they would be one as we are one, us and them and us. May other people believe not only the message that I deliver, but the message that they deliver, that people would believe, to let them know that I love them and that you love them as much as you love me. I mean, what an awesome post. I mean, what an awesome moment. And then suddenly, one of his friends, who was on his Facebook, shows up. Or imagine if Jesus had a Facebook. Judas. He only friended him for what he can get out of him. And turned him over to the Pharisees, the religious folks. And all of a sudden, even the 12, the 12 that he chose from the moment he walked out, he and the Father chose from the moment he walked out of the desert, even the 12, quietly, not publicly. Of course, Judas wanted to stay his friend. Probably he was the only one left on his Facebook. But the 12 unfriended him. They didn't say much. It was just quiet. It was quiet. Unlike, I can't be associated with him. He's about to be crucified. And all of a sudden, it's just him and the Father. Mm-hmm. And probably Judas. Because he did kiss him. Mm-hmm. You betray me with a like. Mm. Right? Mm. Betray me with a kiss. Judas, you're the only one left, dude. We know it's you. And here he is, being falsely accused. Who are you? Is it true? Are you the Son of God? And to say that, he's not going to get any likes. Nobody's going to have anything to do with him, because to call himself the Son of God is to call every religious man a sinner that needs a Savior. For him to say, listen, this is the only way to the God that you profess that you're following is through me, the Messiah. And he said, it is true. And finally, he's marched to the cross. And he's being marched to the cross. Peter has to not only privately unfriend him, but he unfriends him 3 times publicly. Publicly. And this is how many people were unfriending Jesus. I mean, it was almost a void on his Facebook, because people were pulling away so fast it created a negative number of friends on his social media. We're just giving an example. They were running so fast they ran out of their clothes. It's gotta get away from him. I gotta get away from him. And Peter, they confronted him as he was watching Jesus from a distance. Aren't you the person that was on Jesus' Facebook? Mm. And he goes, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Again, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. And then finally, he publicly just called down curses. It wasn't a secret betrayal or denial or unfriending for Peter. And all of a sudden, Jesus posts a video of a rooster crowing on his Facebook. Mm. He said, you'll deny me before the cock crows 3 times. Peter, just ashamed, just goes out, drops all the technology, goes back to fishing. Jesus is being crucified on the cross between two criminals, and it's just him and God, and him and God, and him and God. Everybody's run, and they left him, and left him. There's no friends. They've all left him. They don't even associate with him. It's just him and the Father, him and the Father, him and the Father. And then finally, one of the thieves that was on the side of him said, "Is it true? Is it true? Is it true? Is this true? Are you really the Messiah? Are you the Son of God? Can you forgive my sin? Is this true? If it's true, I'll be your friend. I don't care. Listen, I'm about to die. I want. And the thief on the cross, when Jesus had no friends but God, publicly sent a friend request to God. Because God was sending a friend request to man, which is Jesus. And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise because you're my friend, right? Friended me. You publicly friended me. They nailed him to the cross, and all of a sudden the pain and the agony of the cross, and nobody wanted anything to do with him, and it's bad enough. He's like, Father, Father, Father. And then all of a sudden the sins of the world is put upon Jesus, and he's got the sin. He never knew sin, but now sin is on him. Not only did they reject him for good, but now there's sin on him, and God can't look upon sin. And his very only friend that he had now outside the sinner that was on the thief was on the cross was his Father. And his father that was with him before the beginning of time, because he had to turn his head. He had to turn his head. He could not friend his own son with sin, with our sin on his back. And God, the creator of the universe, the one who gave him life, the one who hovered over the womb of Mary and birthed his son, had to do this. And he didn't. He loved you so much. He loved you so much. He loves us so much that he unfriended his own son. He disconnected from his own son. And Jesus said, Father, Father, why have you unfriended me? Why have you forsaken me? You see, the sin was on him, and he had to look away. And then all of a sudden, his own father that unfriended him struck him, because sin had to be dealt with. Jesus was all alone. All he had was the thief. All he had was the thief holding on to the reality by faith that I'm going to friend him. I'm going to friend Jesus. I'm going to friend him. I don't care what anybody says. Listen, we're all going to die, and we're all pointing to the judgment. And the thief said, I want what you have. But now his father, who he lived for, who he obeyed, who he did everything he said, he did everything right. Now even his father unfriended him and publicly struck him. And Jesus dies. He's got one friend. He's got the thief. And he's dead. His Facebook's still up as a memorial. People are kind of looking at it, but they're not friending it. They're not liking it. They're just kind of going, what's happening with Jesus now? He's in the grave, you know. He's in the grave. And they say, well, it seems like I saw some activity on Jesus' Facebook. You know, you saw some, how could it be activity? He's dead. No. I really think I saw some activity. Go back. Let's go look at his Facebook. Are you serious? Dude, I just saw three pictures. Somebody's hacked into his Facebook. That couldn't be Jesus. What's the pictures of? It's three keys. Three keys? Yeah, one of the keys says death. The other picture on his Facebook says hell. And the last one says the grave. He's dead. How can he be posting pictures when he's dead? And what is this key to death, hell, and the grave? What are these three keys? What's going on? Somebody's hacking in. That's some Pharisees, man. There's something going on. Somebody's trying to stir something up. And all of a sudden, 3 days later in the early morning hours, there's a post. It's a post by John and Peter. They said, listen, this Jesus that we told you about, that was dead, that he's alive. He's alive. And all of a sudden, people start clicking and liking and coming. And all of a sudden, they're refreshed. And he has 120 friends who are terrified. And he walks amongst them, dead people coming out of graves and all these things are going on. And oh my goodness, what was that? What was that? He said, listen, I'm going to go be with the Father. I want you to hang around. I want you to hang around this upper room. You know, put a post out, create a group, bring them all in to the upper room, all 120 of them, bring them there, just wait. Because I'm going to go and we're going to, he puts a post out, got 120 friends. I'm going to send down the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God, the dunamis power. You're going to be baptized with this. And it's going to give you power to be able to do everything that I was doing. And so they go and they're huddled up and they're praying and they're unity. And all of a sudden, man, he goes to be with the Father and boom, the church explodes. And these 120 people started posting these pictures with flames of fire on top of their heads and videos of people, filled with the fire of God, and all these things are going out, and the church explodes. And Peter jumps up and he posts a sermon that literally just confronted the very people they were afraid of, and 3,000 people liked them and found God, and all of a sudden the church explodes. But that was that moment when not even God was his friend. Not even God. Let me tell you something. No matter what religion told you, friendship with the world, to be a friend of the world, to like the world, is to hate God. Is to hate God. God does not measure your value based on the crowd around you. He measures your success by your love for the Father, and Him in your heart. Obedience. The culture has clicked over into some concept as that Jesus was only valuable when he had followers. Jesus was always Jesus. From the moment he left heaven to the moment he went back to the 6,000 plus years or millennials before that, he was Jesus. And he was Jesus and he'll be Jesus forever. Listen, your life and somebody else's life, if you're following somebody just because they got a lot of followers, when you start getting posts from God in your heart that says, listen, this is not right. This is not right. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And you walk away. When he says, listen, 81% of you who profess to be following me are not even reading my commands. You're not even reading the Bible. Listen, you're not with me. Quit telling people you're not friending me. You're going to get unfriended by God. Think about it.
Wow.
He says, it's like when you publicly like me for everybody to see, but quietly behind the scenes, you're unliking me, or in the public square that you were actually at the same time with two things coming out of your mouth. He says, you're like crucifying me all over again. You said you left your life of sin, but you're back in your sin again. And you're publicly saying both things out of your mouth. Listen, it's like crucifying Christ all over again. He said, there may not be any help for you. Listen, we've bought into this thing, but look at Jesus' life and how it would be. How it would be. You see, wide is the road. Many are the likes that leads to hell, that leads to destruction. But narrow is the gate, a few likes that lead to eternal life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828. And type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you.
He wants to forgive you of where you fouled and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ, that God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that, I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I don't know if I ever told you about this time. You know, we mentioned it the other day, and I want to mention it today. I was sent to this call. You know, I used to be a deputy, a law enforcement officer, and I was sent to this call. And the call was, there was this house that was in probate, and nobody was living there, and they were waiting for it to go through a process or something. And they said that they thought they heard somebody was in the house. Well, there was no power on the house or anything like that, and so they, for some reason, they sent me out there. It's like, that's scary. You know, like, oh, no, you're the deputy. You're supposed to go.
Right, right.
The
police.
Every time there was a problem, they always sent me. I don't know what that was. Anyway, so and so here we go. I'm going to this place, and it seems like an older house there, and it's kind of, it looks, it's all dark. It's at nighttime, and I'm standing on the front porch, and you know, and I felt the front door is cracked. It's open. I'm like, oh my goodness, well, somebody could be in this thing. So I didn't shine my light at first. You know, I kind of kept my light down so I can kind of walk into this house to be able to surprise them. So them surprising me.
Right.
And so I got in there and I turned on my flashlight. You have to understand, my flashlight at that time was something they use now, I think, for x-rays. I mean, if you thought might have a broken bone, you could put that behind them and look on the other side. You can see if any bone is fractured. It was bright. It was so bright that it almost caught my car seat on fire in my cruiser once. It was just such a bright light. So anyway, so I come in there and all of a sudden, y'all wanted to surprise me. Like, bam, turn my light on, right? And when I turn my light on, cockroaches, man. Cockroaches like 2 inches, 3 inches, 6 foot wingspread. I mean, these things were huge. And there was just hundreds of them. And they just flew right to me like I was Velcro and went, you know, and I had a short sleeve shirt on, man.
Oh, no.
And they have like pointy, like needle legs and stuff.
Thanks.
Fangs.
That's like your best friends, right?
It's not time to talk about your phobia. I'm covered in roaches. In roaches. And I'm supposed to be the calm, cool police. I'm here to rescue you.
Yeah. You are the police.
I was police. And so I was terrible. Oh, my goodness, you know. And so you don't know whether somebody's in there with a gun. You don't know what's going on. You got roaches crawling up your pants legs and in your sleeves, in your ears. You know what I'm saying? This is horrific.
You're the police.
And listen, for people, our listeners that are not living in the southern parts of America, you haven't seen a roach. Do you see one down south?
No doubt.
It's as big. It's like a big, huge bay leaf or bigger.
It's like an airplane.
It really is. The wingspread will blow you away. And so needless to say, I felt inside of me there was a need that I needed to expedite my search of this house and get out of this house.
And escape.
And escape. I went through the house so fast. And what happened was transients, I guess, would come in there, kids or whoever, and they were sleeping on the floor on a mattress in that.
Mm. Oh, wow.
There was open peanut butter jars and all that. And roaches were just everywhere.
Ugh.
Oh my goodness! I mean, I ran out of there, and they're crawling up your short sleeve shirts. They're going right up your arms and down the back of your neck and stuff. And, oh, it was just horrific. I'm glad I didn't shoot the place up. It wouldn't have done no good.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, I can imagine it. And so,
that was another time.
I ran out of there, obviously, in a real cool way.
Yeah, sure.
And I didn't know where I wanted to get in my cruiser, because I know they're gonna have roaches in my cruiser, right? Because they're all over me. And so I'm shaking clothes out, doing all kinds of stuff.
Search yourself.
All right. I was getting them out. And that was horrific.
Ugh.
That was horrific, you know. And I remember when I was young, when I first got my understanding of roaches, and maybe Chris has a story here. It looks like he has one. I was five, and Dad had this walking cane. He got this cane from the insurance company. It's like an insurance company gives you a cane. I never thought about that. Not a good thing if you think about it, spiritually speaking. It's like, what are you trying to tell me? Anyway, he gave me all these awards. He did really real good insurance, and so having this long cane that was curled or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this, they had built onto the house, closed in a garage. Mm-hmm. And there was this, you know, during those days, paneling was the thing.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh.
I don't know what happened, but paneling was a thing. And there was this cockroach that got in there on the wall in the back of this room, you know. And so I was like, because I was confident. It crawls around and stuff like that, you know. And it was to me, I mean, you know, 5 years old, it looked like it was probably about, you know, 2 inches long and, you know, whatever. And so I had that cane, you know, and, you know, 5 year olds, you know, we're like, you know, trying to see if frog legs stay on when you pull on them. And
very intelligent, right?
The fly wings come off. Can you fly with one wing? Different things that kids do. And so I'm poking at this cockroach. I'm poking at this cockroach, you know, for all the PETA listeners out there.
With
the cane. Oh, well. Anyway, so I'm poking at this thing, thinking, you know, I'm bigger than you, and I'm poking this cane. But I didn't realize, my knowledge and my wisdom has not yet expanded to all the things that these big, huge southern Florida roaches can do. And all of a sudden, this crawling roach that was on this paneling wall decided, okay, I'm not going to crawl anymore. I'm going to spread my 6-foot wingspread. I'm going to fly over to whoever's holding this cane, and I'm going to land on his shoulder. Oh, my gosh. You're talking about squealing. Oh, this 5-year-old squealed and ran the whole length of that place. Oh, my goodness. I want to encourage you. Pest control is from the Lord. From the Lord. You like a phobia? You like them?
Oh, roaches. We don't get along.
No,
I've got a similar story of being attacked by a roach.
You got attacked too, huh?
Oh, wow. Man. But I was, like, you know, probably
16?
Like 25?
Actually, I was older. I was about 26, really. No, I was, you know, growing up as a kid.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Growing up as a kid, you know, we would go to our grandmother's house, you know, all the time, and she had a really bad...
Yeah.
Roach problem.
Lots of oak trees.
And so
they live under
edit
oak trees.
Edit that. Okay.
Anyway.
So yeah, at night, you know, I was always afraid of a cockroach crawling into my ear, up my nose, in my mouth, you know, because they were they were everywhere.
Oh, and my goodness.
You were for the mission field. You're going to go to the mission field. You're ready.
And so, you know, later on in life,
instead when I was, he got hairballs.
I was, you know, later on when I was living in the house, there was one particular night where there, you know, there was a cockroach in the kitchen, and it was this biggest cockroach I'd ever seen. Like you said, it was 2-3 feet long, and
did it have a saddle?
Oh, yeah. And I went to swat this thing,
in my kitchen.
and it flew off. I mean, it came like right towards my face.
Were you smoking your Bible about that time? This might not have actually happened. We don't know, right?
I could have hallucinated it.
Yeah. And so I ducked this cockroach, and it lands on top of this shelf. And so I turn around, and I'm going towards this roach to swat it, and this thing stands up on its hind legs.
Oh, wow.
I'm serious. This thing stood up and just flew at me again. And I screamed.
It flipped me again?
And I screamed like a little banshee.
It flipped him. It flipped a 26-year-old man. It's cockroach flipped him.
No, wow. Flew at me.
Oh, flew at you. At least it flipped him.
That's, wow. That's a big roach, bro.
It could have been like this, too. I don't know.
It was a big roach.
Yeah, right. He was on drugs.
But that was, yeah.
That's and then it spoke to you, right?
No, I didn't speak. I spoke. I screamed like a little girl.
Well, okay. This is the last cockroach segment. You know, and you know, there's just different things. You know, I've been to Jersey and seen some stuff. Been to New York and I saw that. I said, "Oh, what's that? A dog?" They go, "No, that's a rat." That's a rat. And so I was in a hospital. I was in a hospital because somebody was there in the hospital and. I wanted to stay the night. They don't design hospital furniture for you to be there. I mean, they intentionally, they have some psychologist designing furniture to just poke you in a certain way that you'll go home mm-hmm. and not stay in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And they mopped their carpets. They mopped their carpets in the hospital. And so anyway, so there was a coffee pot and there was like this waiting room, whatever, down from the room that I was staying there. And just staying there. Actually, it was Donna's mom that we were there. And I just wanted to stay close to Donna and her mother. And I said, well, I'm just going to stay here in this waiting room and kind of somehow lay between on the arms or something. You know, it's just really uh-huh. tough to do. And I'm laying there wide awake with an armrest in my back. Mm-hmm. And I look at the coffee pot. And over the coffee pot, this is in a hospital. Mm. You know, it's in a hospital. I look up, and there's one of these huge roaches that he's talking about. I'm over the coffee. I'm like, you know me. I don't have like 30 cups of coffee.
Oh, no.
I'm like, and so I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, you know, because we were in this daze because we've been awake for like, you know, weeks. And it seems like, and... So I'm thinking, you know, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking at it. Then all of a sudden, and what Chris said reminded me of it. This you're thinking, you know, you think you know how things happen, you know, and you're looking at it and you're in and out and what's going on. It's like, you know, as long as it stays way over there, I will not have coffee again ever anywhere in the vicinity of this place.
Oh, my gosh.
And then. It literally bows up. It leans back. It leans back now. It's on the wall, so it's on a wall. Its feet are touching the wall. Its back feet, because it had a whole bunch of them. And then its front feet came off. You got to get this. You got to get this now. And then it took its neck and its head and looked around the room. It looked around the room.
Oh, my God.
I levitated off that seat, man. Like, boom, I am out of here. I am going home. Lord, we'll just trust this thing with
goodness.
That. It looked around the room. It looked at me. I'm like, oh, my gosh. What's happening? Roaches are mutating. What are we doing? What is this coming from? So, it's pretty... Pretty amazing. These big bay meadow type bugs, they call them, but
palmetto
bugs. And
well,
those are big.
Okay. We haven't had Jersey
oh, really?
Roach yet.
Are you serious?
Jersey roach yet? Now they're not as big, but this maybe this would be.
Those
the
are
last
called
one.
Ants.
Maybe this
are ants.
Maybe this would be the last roach ants. Story. Okay. I remember my parents. This is when I was younger, maybe about 5-6 years old. Maybe not older than that. I don't know. Just young kid at the time.
How tall were you then?
I don't know. They're probably almost the same size now. But
I was right.
But
you got that tricycle? Tricycle.
Well, this beautiful couple actually that led my parents to the Lord. They actually were come visiting my parents at the house for dinner. Oh, okay, no. You got to get this.
Of all the times for you to come out, Roach.
So you know this is a wonderful.
If your mother's
couple,
listening, she's
so,
dying right yeah. now. You're saying this.
No, my mom is a spotless person. When you live in an apartment building, if your neighbors got roaches, it doesn't matter. You gonna have roaches. They leave one apartment, come to the next. But still is spotless type person, and cleaning, you know, doing her thing. And so this couple is there, and I remember this couple were so nice. It was just so proper, and I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, just you know, they actually came to our apartment and they're eating dinner with us, and it was a huge deal. So I get up, you know how your act is like trying to be on my best behavior, and I'm picking up plates.
That
and
had
doing
to be hard.
Huh?
That had to be hard for you.
Oh my goodness, very hard. So I'm you know doing my thing, and all of a sudden, I see this woman talking to my parents, and I see this roach on the back of her neck.
Oh no! Wait! Where is it?
On the back of her neck.
Oh my goodness! Did she bring it with her?
So I'm a kid. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a roach on her neck.
Oh no, your mom!
Oh, no, out loud.
Your mom was like, "Thank you, John Paul. Thank you."
If you could have seen their eyes, and she's getting up and she's patting her back and running around. It was hilarious. I'm sure my mom doesn't even remember that story, but it was hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure
they
she does.
Awesome friends, and they knew it for many years. But it was. That was something else, man. That was something else.
Can you imagine? She probably went home and thought, well, we're just in the mission field, honey.
We're just reaching out to them. We're just trying to be nice to these people.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this. The author of The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, think about, I remember I was pondering this morning about a time that we were in Israel. And I don't know if we're in Jerusalem. It was you and I were in Jerusalem, and somebody it's part of the Aaron priesthood, the lineage of Aaron priesthood. We were there in his office, and we're trying to be really calm, and you know, not just be just there.
Yeah.
And he had some drawings and some pictures about with Mary Magdalene and Jesus she was at his feet, and the drawing is and Jesus. She's pouring perfume over his feet, and of course it's just a beautiful picture. That's I'm Mary, you know what I'm saying? And so but when we're in his office, I remember that God just began to speak through him, and all of a sudden God's glory, his presence impregnated that room. I don't know if you remember that, how powerful that was. And we were trying to be calm, you know, and astute and just, you know, not any kind of, you know, mushiness and that type of thing. And, oh, man, God's presence came in, and we just began to weep and began to just, our hearts just broke. And maybe, and then and tears just started pouring down, not just dripping down, but pouring down. And all I could do, because I was sitting down, and then he began to speak the blessing of the priesthood over us. And it was like God just began to just impart something. Israel was mm-hmm. in, you know, has been encounters for me, what God has done in Israel. Mm-hmm. And I remember going forward, I was sitting down and putting my elbows on my knees because you're just overtaken by God's power and his awesomeness. And so many tears came out of both of my eyes. It was streaming from my eyes.
Wow.
Wow.
I was so broken in God's presence. I was so overtaken by him. You know, when Songs of Solomon, when you read Song of Solomon and you hear Misty Edwards and you hear people who are going after his heart and the love and the bridegroom. But the truth is that we're overwhelmed by who he is, and that when he shows up in a powerful way, it's just like, this is what I was designed for. But I was trying to remember that, and it was just, you know, oh, well, so much for being all together and everything. All I could do was just lean forward so I wouldn't drown by my tears that came forth when God was blessing, blessing me with this priesthood blessing, you know, and he's actually from the family, he's from the lineage, you know, the Aaron lineage. It was just, it was a powerful thing.
Oh, wow.
Like, we're totally caught by surprise. I mean, it was not something we were planning on doing as we were, you know, doing different things in Israel. And, but it's just like, I want to encourage you that, God so loves you. And just his very presence will just solve everything. It will just solve everything.
That's right.
And if you've been a person that have not been able to shed a tear for years, just don't try to cry. Just go after God.
Yeah.
Go after God. And it doesn't have to be broken tears. It could be tears of joy.
Yeah.
And the awesomeness of who he is. But literally imagine now, streams came from my eyes. It was the most wildest thing. It's like at some point you think, well, it'd be like short and it'd be over with.
Yeah.
But just water just poured and poured and poured. And I was so broken. It was just, you know, it was just all of a sudden.
Wow.
And I just want to encourage you. You can have one encounter with God, and not only will it change you and those around you, but it'll change 10 generations.
Yeah.
10 generations.
No, focus on trying to fix it yourself. I kind of been there and died there on that
trip. I got a new book. I got a new book. Remember those years? I got a new book.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't. The revelation was, you know, you couldn't even save yourself. You know, so you couldn't even save yourself. You can't fix yourself. And I just remember a time of just seeking after God and just spending time in his presence, like you're saying. And God did more in his presence than I ever could have done. Trying to fix myself, and you just can't. God's the fixer. He's the healer. And he's the one that'll just touch you in his presence. And it just takes one second in his glory, one second while you're marinating in his beautiful love. It's absolutely beautiful because you'll change. He changes us from glory to glory to glory to glory. It's his presence. It's his love.
The Father's presence.
Yeah. Just go after him. Just go after him. Spend time with him.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Obviously, the Lord is just speaking to you today about his love for you and that he's singing over you and he's got good plans in store for you. The difference quite often between success and failure, those that you talk to that really are honest, is 5 more minutes.
Mm. Yeah.
They were faithful 5 more minutes when everything in them, around them, betrayed them. Nobody did what they said they were going to do. You're in a pit, you know, by your brothers. And like Joseph was, you're in prison. You've been betrayed by, you know, Potiphar's wife, the baker, the cupbearer, all these different people. And just suddenly, against your will. I like that when, I don't like what happened, but what Robert Kennedy said when he was running for presidency and he just got the news that Dr. Martin Luther King had gotten assassinated. It was just like tragic, you know? And you can watch him get the news and your heart just, the whole thing was just, you know, it's just sad. And so many, you know, say, well, everything's totally fine because President Johnson signed a few bills. And it's like when your apostle is killed, when your leader
assassinated
is assassinated, I mean, there's maybe a few little issues I still have I need to work out in my life here. That's not a good ending to, you know, and be open for our brothers and sisters to go through that and go through those journeys. But anyway, so he gets the news and he's in a political campaign and he stops, not knowing that, you know, a few days later that he too would be with Dr. King. And because he was going to be assassinated too. And that is John Kennedy's brother that was running for president. And of course, John Kennedy's brother had been assassinated. There's three assassinations in the 60s. You had President John Kennedy, you had Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and you had Robert Kennedy, the president's brother.
Yeah.
And so he said, I think it was a quote from Erxis, you know, the philosopher, and I'm probably going to mess it up, but this is just so important. I mean, it's so powerful. He says, listen, he says, pain that falls drop by drop upon your heart that doesn't stop, that you can't stop, and you don't want to stop until one day in your sleep, against your will, comes God's awesome grace. And my experience in studying many men and women of God is, against your will, you know, that it's just set in stone what God's going to do.
Yeah.
You are not going to do something. You're not going to be the one that says, hey, you're ushering in God. God's going to usher in you.
Mm-hmm.
And in that broken state, against your will, because by this time when God's about to move, you were so beat up. You were so, you know, at the end of yourself. And you're just thinking, I'm fixing to go minister to some other state somewhere. I'm just going to go find myself somewhere else. I'm just going to leave. And you're just ready to quit.
I'm done.
But hold on. Understand, in a few moments, you're going to walk out to where you always walked out, the place you just said you'd never want to go again. And God's going to surprise you. And he's going to pour himself out against your will. His awesome grace will come. Mm-hmm. And you will dine on the presence of our awesome God, and you'll be so grateful you didn't buy into the lies of the enemy and run, but you stay and stand even when it stinks.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Yes, VFNTV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.